We're going to go through Hannah's prayer today. How many of you, sometimes when you see someone who's done you wrong or a villain in a movie or something, and you're just glad when they get theirs? Anybody? There's a scene, and I think it's one of the most beautiful scenes. I referenced this movie last week, of The Christmas Story. And Ralphie, how many of you watched this movie, by the way? If you have not, it's an American classic. You need to give it a whirl this Christmas. And then also, plug, I haven't seen it yet, but Mike, what's the movie that you sent me, the Christmas movie, or somebody sent me it, the Christmas pageant movie? Anybody know what I'm talking about? The Christmas pageant movie that's out? Okay. I've heard nothing but amazing things about it. You should go check it out. But The Christmas Story, you got Ralphie. Anybody know the name Ralphie when I say Ralphie? There's this scene where he's getting harassed by the neighborhood bully. And if you've seen the movie, they go out and they're doing everything they can to avoid this bully and his sidekick, right? And this bully just is mean to them the entire movie. And finally, there's a scene where Ralphie's just had it. And you see this bully, Ralphie just punches this bully and just unleashes this fury of punches on this bully. And we're all sitting there watching, like, give it to him, get it, right? And we're cheering, right? We love it when the villain gets what they deserve. And I think human nature, we're like that, right? We like it when someone who's done us wrong gets what they deserve. And so we're going to go and look at Hannah's prayer. And as I was diving into it, I got stuck on one verse of the prayer. And so we're going to kind of dive into that one verse and move on from there. If you're in, you got your Bibles with you, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this, "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exults in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation.'" We're gonna kind of just break this verse apart. There's a whole prayer that follows this, but really, this is the pace setter of that whole passage. This verse here sets the tone for everything else she's gonna say in this prayer of hers, or in this song of hers that she's singing. I don't know if you've ever read through the Psalms and you find yourself almost kind of humming the tune of the Psalms as you read them. How many worship songs do we have where we're singing Psalms? We're singing the Psalms out. And there's something about when you sing what's in your soul and it comes out of you, it's powerful. And you'll see some translations will say Hannah's prayer. Some translations will say Hannah's song. Think about last week we dived into what she's been through in her life. She went through something that was extremely humiliating year after year after year, not being able to have children. Women in those days, their worth was found in how many children that they had. Hannah had none. And she had to be displayed every year in front of all the other worshipers at her lack of children. And she'll even say to Eli the priest, "Don't look on me as a worthless woman." For her to even say that means that she was struggling with her identity and who she was. She was projecting, she thinks she's worthless. And she's saying, "Don't look on me because you might think I'm worthless." She's struggling with her value in society. And now you get to this place where God has answered her prayer. I mean, we ended on that bridge. "I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered." And if we could sum up this prayer of Hannah, it's, "I sought the Lord, he heard, and he answered." Man, I went through some stuff, but I didn't turn away from God. And what I love about Hannah's story, never once do you read in this story that she turns away from the Lord. She doesn't deny him. She doesn't reject him. She doesn't say, "I'm not doing this anymore, God," turning away from him. You see her seeking God with everything that she has, and God answers her prayer. And so we're seeing in chapter 2 this answer to prayer. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. We're going to focus on the three minds today. And we're talking about the journey to thankful. I think for a lot of people, you're more thankful when you go through something and you come out of it and you look back on, wow, God, thank you. Like, I know for Generation Alpha right now, they're the young ones. One Generation Alpha got grounded from their cell phone yesterday. And I know that as they go through the storm in their life that they're going through right now, and the hardships they're facing as they sit in the front row, that when they get that cell phone back, man, they're going to be thankful for that cell phone, right? Because they went through it. They harbored the storm. And what we're seeing with Hannah here is she's gone through it. How many of you have been through it in your life? You've been through it. And God brings you out of it, and you're just, God, wow, thankfulness takes on a whole new meaning. And that's what we're seeing with Hannah, and she proclaims the three my's of thankfulness. She says, my heart, my horn, and my mouth. The three my's. And we're going to take a quick dive into those. First, she'll say, my heart exalts in the Lord. Really, the word heart, if you study it in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the heart, when they say the heart, that is the epicenter of who you are. That is everything you think, everything you feel, your view in the world and how you see things. It comes from the epicenter, the core of who you are. It's the lens of which you look through life. How do you see your life? And it comes out of your heart. And Hannah, we could see here with Hannah, one of the things that the world would look at with Hannah and go, you know what? You deserve to be bitter. All the stuff that you had to go through, boy, you deserve to just hold the mocking and the abuse and the trauma that you went through. You have every right to look at everything else in your life through the lens of abuse, trauma, and bitterness. We've seen people like that. In my life, have I struggled with those lenses at the core at times in my life? You better believe it. There have been times where, man, I hope so-and-so sure gets theirs for what they did to me. You don't see in Hannah's prayer, you don't see the vengeance that she should deserve to speak with or the bitterness of that. She says this, the heart, my heart, everything inside of me, through all the stuff that I've been through, everything in me still praises the Lord with everything I've got. And we'll see in the scene before this, you know, she's standing in the temple court and she's just worshiping and she's praying to God, so much so that her mouth is moving and she doesn't even realize what she's looking like to everybody around her, to the point where Eli says, you're drunk. There's something inside of her that is still exalting God with everything that she has despite what she's been through. The circumstances don't dictate her vision moving forward in her life. She doesn't look through the lens of what everybody did to me. And I'm going to just, whatever, moving forward in my life, everything in my life is going to be tainted with what's happened to me in my past. This, my heart exults. I'm moving forward with my life, God. And with doing that, I am giving you all the glory for what you're doing and going to do in my life. I'm not holding on to what's happened anymore. I'm looking forward. That's called the journey to thankful. I'm not letting those things hold on to me anymore. I'm letting them go. Next, you're going to see my horn is exalted in the Lord. In the Old Testament, the word horn will be referenced many, many times to strength. It's going to be a word that you look at and people identify when their strength, my horn, my strength, comes through the Lord. If you've ever seen, I don't know if you've been on a safari to Africa lately. I don't know. When I was a kids pastor, we had this missionary come to our church, and my lead pastor came up to me that morning, Sunday morning, came up to me and said, "Hey, what would you think about having a missionary come speak in the kids' service today?" And it wasn't in the plans, but I'm like, you know, sure. What I didn't know at the time, that he had accidentally double-booked missionaries that day. And so we got the lesser of the two, apparently. And so we get this missionary up there, and first of all, I knew it was going wrong when he gets up there, and the entire time he's talking, he doesn't make eye contact with the kids at all. He's staring at the ceiling the entire time he's talking. It's the strangest thing to watch. I should try it on you some morning and see what it's like. Just the whole time, doing this. And I'm like, hey, we're over here. And then he's like, hey, could I get a volunteer to come up? And one of our junior staff volunteers comes up, and he wants to do this magic trick. And I don't know if you know what flash paper is, but flash paper is something where if you light it on fire, it just literally flashes and then disappears. It's super fast. And so he's performing this magic trick with his flash paper, and he lights it on fire, and it flashes, and then he goes back to talking at the ceiling to the kids. What he doesn't realize is the junior helper's hair caught on fire. And he's just talking away like nothing's happening while junior staffer is freaking out, her hair is on fire. Probably something we should deal with. And so he's just going, like nothing's happening, the kids are freaking out. Service is going great. And so one of our other junior staffs grabs a towel, tackles her, wraps her head in the towel. She's got the stranglehold going on stage behind the missionary who's speaking at the ceiling, and the kids aren't paying attention to a word he's saying. Now, you know how I feel on some Sundays, okay? And he keeps going, and then he tells this story of this time he was in Africa, and the guide was taking him on a trail in the jungles of Africa, and they hear a thundering behind them. And the tour guide, in whatever language he was speaking in, screams out, "Rhinoceros." So the missionary tells the children that he shoved the tour guide to the side and took off running to save himself, not knowing what would come of the tours being trampled by the coming rhinoceros. He's telling the children this. Why? Because rhinoceros have these big things on the end of their, I was going to say beak. I'm not a zoologist, guys. I don't know what it's called. Mouth, head, extend. Between their eyes. You guys are as good as I am about naming what that was. It was a horn. You see a rhinoceros horn, and you look at that, and it speaks of strength. You don't want to get bucked by that thing. I mean, we've seen video online before of bulls in the rodeo who grab, there's one where he grabs a rodeo clown and with the horn just flips his neck and sends the dude flying. So in the Bible, when it speaks of a horn, it speaks of a horn of a great animal that is strong, and there's strength in that. And so what Hannah is saying is that despite all that's happened to me, I'm strong. When the world would look at me and say, you have every right to live your life in victimhood. You have every right to get up in the morning and to go see your therapist every single morning. And to let everyone know the excuse of why you can't move forward in your life and why you just can't seem to get up in the morning, and your identity is so strapped to the trauma that's happened to you. And here we have Hannah saying, no, 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 no. My strength today, my identity today is in the Lord. My identity is not going to be what happened to me. What happened to me is not going to be the badge that I wear the rest of my life to let people know who I am. My banner is the Lord. His banner over me is love. That's what Hannah's saying. My strength today, my identity today is in God. I'm not letting that come back and define me anymore. And listen, I will tell you, there are certain groups of people that I won't go around anymore because they just can't seem to get past what happened to me in my life. I don't know if you've ever encountered that before. I've seen this before where people will help other people that are going through a hard time or difficulty in their life. And that person's identity becomes helping their handicapped friend in their life that can't just seem to get past it, get through it. And so what starts to happen is when that person starts to heal and get better and start moving forward, that person helping them can't seem to let go of the thing that they want to keep helping them with. Does that make sense? And here Hannah knows. I mean, year after year, her identity by everybody around her was the fact she couldn't have kids. That was her identity to so many people. It became her identity at one point in time. And now she's saying, no, my identity is in God today. When your identity stops being the thing that happened to you and starts being Jesus, the person who can make you and move you forward in your life, that's called the journey to thankful. Look what the Lord has done. I love that song. In youth group in the late 90s, it was one of my favorite songs. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord, he healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Oh, I'm going to praise his name. We see people do that in the Bible. When God brings them out of something, they celebrate uncontrollably. That thing that held them down isn't holding them down anymore. And that's what Hannah's doing in this phrase right here. My horn exalts in the Lord. You ain't holding me down no more, devil. I'm praising Jesus. There is a Jesus who is stronger than your past. There is a Jesus stronger than your trauma. There's a Jesus stronger than your pain. Let's glorify Jesus in our lives. And that's what Hannah's doing, is I'm going to glorify Jesus. He is my strength. We look in Isaiah, we'll see something similar to this. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 and 31, I'm going to go through some verses for you here. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. That's the kind of God I want to serve. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. My horn is in the Lord. In Ephesians 6:10, we're going to do something this morning. I'm going to have you do a little activity with me today. Is that okay? There are people who do this every morning they wake up. I don't. I kind of got challenged a little bit as I was reading this week, going, this is a good habit to get into, okay? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Paul will proclaim, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Do you know that God wants you to live strong? Not in your strength, because we'll see in Isaiah that Isaiah will say, hey, even humans in their own strength will grow tired at some point in time. Listen, if we all ran a marathon outside of the church and just circled the church, let's see how many laps we go before people start dropping off. I'll say 2 for me, okay? I'll make it 2. There's going to come a point where we're going to grow faint and grow tired, and we're going to have the police coming out here wondering why their pastor killed all of his congregation in the middle of winter running laps around the church. But we're going to see here that Paul says, be strong in who? The Lord. Hannah will say, my horn, my strength is in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. That's the verse that follows. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then he gives us some practical tools of how to do that. He says to be strong in the Lord, do this. Put the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. How many know that the devil wanted to destroy Hannah? He wanted to put her through something to where the world would look at her and give her like, hey, we understand why you would turn away from God. Look, he ignored you for how long? But put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Listen, a thankful heart understands where the real battle's being fought in their life. Listen, the devil will use people to do things to you in your life to try and to destroy you. But we need to understand that we live in a fallen world and everybody needs Jesus. We need to understand where the real fight takes place. Now, the devil may use people to do things and to say things and to do things to torment you and whatnot, but Paul is imploring us, listen, when you're wearing the full armor of God, it strengthens you to engage in a spiritual battle that is beyond that person standing in front of you. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. He says it again, the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened. Now, we got to do this. Okay, you guys ready? You're going to do your best job of getting dressed this morning. Okay, can we do that? You can stay sitting down, too. You don't have to get up for this. But this is a good just picture for us to do in our lives. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Put your belt on this morning. Come on. Put on the belt of truth. What is the truth? What is the belt of truth? Listen, God is truth. His word is truth. What he says is true. Hold on. Listen, truth holds it all together. Listen, if the word of God weren't true, how about this? If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, would that unravel everything? Hold on to that. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. Did you guys fasten your belts? Okay, just making sure. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Who's your righteousness today? And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness by the gospel of peace. Get your shoes on. And in all circumstances, turn to someone next to you and say, all circumstances. Maybe shout it across the section across from you. All circumstances, everything that happens to you in your life, all of it, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Don't you think Hannah went through some evil dart moments in her life? All the things coming at her to give up her faith in Jesus, in the Lord. All those things that were being thrown at her every day, that her worth, your worth is only what you put out. And she was saying, I am a child of God. with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil. Listen, let's stand on all of the Word of God. I think sometimes we read some of this and go, I can't withstand all the darts. The Bible says you can. Listen, we look at so many things in this world to give us the truth. And we'll even read the Bible, and sometimes we'll read the Bible and go, well, is that really for me? Or is this, can we really withstand all the flaming darts? The Word of God says we can. In whose strength? In His strength. And again, go back to Hannah. Her strength was found in the Lord. Horns were, in the Old Testament, used as a form of weaponry, a form of strength. When you saw something coming at you with a horn, you knew to watch out. And now Hannah's saying, watch out, I've got a horn, and His name is the Lord. And you're going to see this in the Old Testament again. Listen, she's saying, my strength, my God, is bigger than your God. We're going to see that with the Philistines when they decide that they're going to steal the Ark of the Covenant and put it in their temple with Dagon, their God. And they just can't figure out why their God keeps flopping over at night with the real God in the temple with it. And they get up in the morning, they're like, oh, our God fell down, we need to prop him back up. And the next morning, oh, our God fell down, we need to prop him back up. And finally they figure out, oh, the God of the Israelites is bigger than our God. Let's get rid of the God of the Israelites. Let's send him back to Israel. Their strength was found in the Lord. It's going to overcome every other God in this world. Every inanimate object that people say, oh, look, that's God. That's where our strength is found. And what Hannah's saying is, none of that matters. My horn is found in the Lord. We'll see David do it with Goliath. We'll see David look at a giant that the whole nation is afraid of, and he will proclaim in his own way, my horn, my strength is in the Lord. Where is your strength this morning? On the journey to thankful, we realize my strength is in the Lord. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts, all the lies, all the deceit of the evil one. And now let's put on the helmet of salvation in our life. Let's put on that thing that guards our head, guards our mind, and realize that our salvation, who is our salvation today? It's Jesus. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all of the saints. Get that sword out in your life. Get that sword out. Get in the Word of God. Build your strength up. Listen, we know that athletes, bodybuilders, take all sorts of stuff to get stronger, and they go work out. I was watching an old Saturday Night Live clip from the 80s. And there was this one where they have the full drug Olympics, where they're allowed to take as many anabolic steroids and any other kind of drug they need to take to build up their muscles as big as they possibly can. No illegal anything. They can just do what they want, and you just see them just getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And then you see this guy get up there to make the world record deadlift, and he goes and he lunges up, and he lunges up really fast. The only problem was his arms didn't go up with him. They stayed with the bar. He ripped his arms off. Of course, that was fake. But the world tries to build up its strength in its own way, only to realize it will not stand when the test of strength really comes. Your strength is built up when you're spending time in the Word of God, when you're praying, when you're spending time seeking Him, when you're praying in the Spirit and you're letting the Spirit empower you. That's where real strength is built up. My horn is in the Lord. Another piece of the puzzle on the journey to thankful. You need to speak with the voice of victory in your life. Do you know you're victorious in Jesus in your life? You are victorious. And listen, with me pastoring as long as I have, I've come across Christians who just live defeated by what life has brought them their way. All the things that have happened in their life, and they just walk in, and they're like, oh man, I just, look at me, look at everything that's happened. Now, I'm not saying don't have empathy for people that go through things. I'm not saying that. We're all going to go through stuff. Let's have compassion on one another. Let's love with one another. Let's walk with one another. And let's also realize that we have victory today in what Jesus has done on the cross. And from raising from the dead, we have power in Jesus today. We need to be Christians who live our lives in power. We have power, everybody. Listen, we learned last night we cannot depend on the power of men. But listen, we don't have to worry about the grid going out on Jesus' power in our lives. We're always going to be able to have that. We're always going to be able to have that victory in Jesus because of what he's done, the work he's done. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, she says this, "My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." The word deride there, it's this word, and I'm going to try and give this picture as best I can. How many of you have ever played Hungry Hungry Hippo? It's a great game. As a youth pastor, we did real life Hungry Hungry Hippo. This was a lot of fun. If you ever have seen like those like table or chair shuttle things that you can stack stuff on and scoot it across building floors, the church that I was at, we had like six or eight of them. And so what we would do is we would have a cart scooter thing. It was like really low to the ground with wheels on the bottom or casters on the bottom. And we'd have a student lay on their stomach on it. We would attach a rope to it. And then we would have all of these balls in the middle of the gym floor. And then we would give each contestant on there a Tupperware bin, a big giant Tupperware bin. And then their team would shove them out in the middle of the floor, and they had, with the Tupperware bin, had to slam and grab as many balls and then be pulled back, gently of course, back to their team. And we would see which team could get the most balls in real life Hungry Hungry Hippo as fast as possible. And you would just see people just clamping on, you know, you didn't see them like just kind of gently nibbling at the balls or anything like that. You saw them just, bam, they would take the ball, and their team would jerk them back to their side, and they would go after it. That's kind of the picture that Hannah's painting here, is that my mouth derides your enemies. Be very happy. She is not giving any kind of credence to her enemies in here. Basically, what she's saying is, my praises are so loud in what God's done in my life that those praises are clamping down on my enemies. She is hungry hippoing in the spirit. She's just going out there and she's, God, thank you for what you've done. And it is just shutting up and devouring the criticism, the attacks, everything from her enemies. Her praise is drowning out her enemies. That's what that's talking about. On the journey to thankful, let your praise drown out all the circumstances going on in your life. And that's easier said than done, I get that. But listen, let your mouth speak victory in your life. Let the things that come out of your mouth be something that is going to bring you closer to Jesus, that doesn't give improper attention to the things that have happened to you. I'm not suggesting that we deny things that ever happened, but I'm saying moving forward, I'm going to let the praises of my God drown out those things that have been so loud in my past. That's what she's doing here. Hannah is being kind of human here as well. She's acknowledging that she's had an enemy in her past. She's acknowledging that, yeah, I mean, I've had an enemy. I get it. I don't know if any of you have ever really experienced a true enemy in your life. I tell you what, I have. And I'm not talking about disgruntled church people. Listen, as a pastor, I'm going to get that all the time. I'm going to get, pastor, I don't agree with where you're taking the church. Or pastor, I don't like what you said last Sunday. And pastor, you took this verse completely. That's different stuff. That's just normal wear and tear of being a pastor, okay? These are people who want your life to be ruined. There's a difference. These are people who have a goal to destroy you and your name. And people who would look at Hannah and taunt her and speak down to her. And of course, the Bible doesn't say this, but in all humanness, there's a good chance that she is referencing a past enemy in her life. She's also talking about a bigger picture of Israel and all the enemies of Israel, and how when Israel just rejoices in what God has done and what God's going to do, those praises drown out any threat. Listen, in life, we can be fearful of all sorts of things. We're always going to be having different kinds of enemies coming at us. Culture, society, spiritual attacks, maybe an actual human enemy. It's always going to be a part of our life. We're always going to be dealing with that stuff. And we can either let our minds be consumed by the threat of what could happen. Listen, they did a study on people who struggle with worry. Anybody ever struggled with worry in your life? Anybody? I have. I've worried about my future. I've worried about my health. I've worried about relationships. I've worried about people turning against me. I've worried all this stuff. And what they found out in research is less, by far less than half of what people worry about ever actually happens. Worry, 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 worry. And listen, out of our mouth can start speaking the worry that's in us. And you're going to see these three things, how my heart, the thing that's inside of you, my horn, the thing that guards you, and my mouth, the thing that comes out of me, can be influenced by what you're dwelling on. If I'm going to always be thinking about what could happen or what has happened, if that's all I'm ever worrying about, I'm never going to be able to discover my full identity in Jesus. That I am victorious. I'm an overcomer because of what Jesus has done in my life. And as Christians, we need to live as overcomers. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm an overcomer. And then turn to them and say, live like it. Let your face show it every once in a while. Hey, I'm not talking about we don't go through struggles in life. I mean, the whole New Testament, listen, it's to help us with the struggles that we're going to face in life. But in those struggles, to be victorious about it. To understand that in those struggles, I'm victorious. I am an overcomer. What are the things that are coming out of your mouth? In Hannah's words, my praises are so loud that those things don't have any volume in my ears. Man, let's live like that. Man, a thankful heart on this journey to thankful. You know, it's interesting. The pilgrims, I heard a short, I'm going to give you a really short version of this. But the pilgrims had been undergoing religious persecution, right? So they fled. Well, they fled to the Netherlands to see that they could get it there. They ended up striking up some trade deals that, hey, if you float across the Atlantic, we're going to pay you for it. On the journey across the Atlantic, they went through massive, massive hardship. That I don't think in our culture today we would really understand how bad it was. They lost people through scurvy, disease. William Bradford lost his wife in that journey. Could you imagine floating on a boat Guys, think about this. Imagine floating on a boat with your dead wife. And I'm sure that everybody would have understood William Bradford just shutting down. And they make it over the journey to America. If you've ever read William Bradford's prayer at Thanksgiving, it's almost like the song Through It All. I don't know if you've ever heard that song by the Gaithers. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through all of it. And William Bradford could have gotten up in front of everybody and been like, guys, that was terrible. Wow, what a waste of time that was. Let's just all head back. Let's just go back in defeat. Let's just dwell on all the horrible things that have happened to us. But no, we now call it Thanksgiving. Through it all, he still was giving thanks to God. God, thank you for the religious freedom that we have. God, thank you that in the midst of all of this, you brought us through. And he wasn't being fake, he was being real. And out of that, we have our modern day capitalism. Out of that, we have religious freedom. We have so many things to be thankful for in this country because of people who went through it but didn't dwell on it. And the prayer that's recorded, he's giving thanks to God for God bringing them through. Horatio Spafford, a lawyer and attorney who lost his house in a house fire, watched it all burn down. I don't know if you've ever witnessed somebody watching their house burn down. We saw it when I lived in Helena. We saw a home south of Clancy, family who had students at a high school my kids were going at the time, and you could drive by and watch their barn and their house and all burn down. Gone. And how devastating that is for a family. And Horatio Spafford didn't have State Farm back then. And then you're going to find out that his wife will die. A guy who's gone through significant loss in his life and every reason to sit down and wallow in all the bad that's happened to him and all the horrible things that have happened to him, yet he will sit down and pen a song. When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot in life has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. What Hannah is saying here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, she's saying, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. All the bad things that have happened to her, it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And first, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, Paul will say, rejoice in the Lord when it's convenient. Rejoice in the Lord when it's easy. Rejoice in the Lord when they're out of your favorite flavor at the coffee place. I went to go get a salted caramel mocha from Starbucks on Friday. They didn't have it. And I'm in the drive-thru going, it is well. And they're like, hey, sir, could you please move on? We got customers behind you. With, it's really good, by the way. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Listen, there's something when Jesus works in your life, and you have joy and you have victory in your life, and people are going to look at all the stuff that's happened to you, and yet here you are rejoicing and you're thankful, and people are going to look at that. You're going to be able to speak to them in a way nobody else could because of what Jesus has done for you. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace to God, which surpasses all understanding. And I'm sure there were people who read this song by Hannah and said, I don't get it. Why is she so happy? This was the gal that sat in the court with no kids for how many years? And look at her now. Don't get it. She should be bitter. She should be shut down. She should just stay at home. It doesn't make sense. Listen, people will look at your life and say, wow, what is going on with you? You're weird. And some of you, that already happens to you. But listen, Jesus is the difference maker in your life. Speak of that victory. Let your life speak of victory to those around you who look at your life and all the things that have happened. I mean, how many times have you said this? Have you heard this story? Man, I didn't think so-and-so would ever give their life to Jesus. And look at them now. And the song their life is singing, a victory. The word here, rejoice, in the Greek, really means in the midst of rejoice. Don't rejoice after, rejoice during. Don't wait till the hard time is over to start praising. Don't wait for all of it to pass to start praising. Like Emma, start praising now, not when you get your phone later on tonight. Okay? Come on. Okay? It'll pass. Oh, man. Oh, it's great. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. We have all, hey. Rejoice how many times? What a great posture in your life, right? Pray when it's all over. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in how many circumstances, everybody? Boy, you talk about the formula for thankfulness in your life. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks all the time. That's a journey to thankful. Listen, we're all going to go through stuff that's going to be terrible. Let's just be real. We live in a fallen, and I think sometimes us as Christians, we get wrong theology here. Listen, we live in a fallen world. We live in a sinful world. It happened when Adam and Eve sinned. Sin came into the world. We'll also read that in the Bible that for a period of time, that God will allow the devil to roam around this earth and cause problems. That day is coming to an end. But until then, he is going to wreak havoc in people's lives. And yet we're shocked when we go through stuff. Listen, we're all going to go through the stuff. It's how we respond to it that matters. It's understanding that through all this stuff, my vision goes beyond my circumstances to Jesus and what he's done in my life and what he's going to do and where I'm going to spend eternity. And as hard as the stuff that I'm going through is, my reward is greater. So because of that, because of what Jesus has done and just who Jesus is, and because I have a clear understanding of who he is in my life, and I've not let the things that have gone on poison my view of Jesus, I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to pray without ceasing, and I'm going to give thanks all the time. All the time. We used to sing the song in the 90s, well, God is good, all the time. Well, God is good, all the time. What a cool thing to be in Walmart when there's 85,000 people in that store and you're getting cut off And I don't know if you guys go through this, but they're like, I'll pull out of an aisle and it's like I'm having to just fight for my life to get across the aisle because of the cross traffic. And they really need to put some traffic lights in Walmart. What if I'm going through there, God is good all the time? You know what? I would get in line. People would clear. They're like, get the crazy guy out of here. I would check out of Walmart in no time fast. People like, let the loony bin get out of the store so we can go back to being miserable. You know, let your life sing the goodness of God. The testimony, man, you talk about a powerful testimony when people that are in your sphere of your life, that have seen your life, and they've seen all the stuff that's gone on, and here you are in your life going, God is good all the time. Oh, yeah. I mean, is that not a powerful testimony in your life? When people look at all that you, and all the reasons you have to give the excuses for why you should be the way society says you should be. Oh, but I met Jesus, and he changed my life. And my heart exalts him now. My horn, my strength is exalted in him now. My mouth sings the praises so loud that those circumstances fade away in the shouts of praise that come from my heart. That's the journey to thankful. Jesus, I just thank you for your goodness today. Today, my heart sings the praises of God. Today, my soul just is happy in what you have done. Oh God, I thank you that you took me out of the pit. You brought me out of the miry clay and you set my feet on a rock. Thank you. My heart rejoices in you today. I pray that as we go into Thanksgiving this week and in the holiday season, now the holidays trump up a lot of emotions in people. For some it's great, for some it's not. God, I pray that in this season, that what people would see in us is a life that shouts out the goodness of God. God, would you let our words bring healing in this season to others around us? God, I pray for people that as they come to situations that have been difficult for years, and I pray in Jesus' name that those things would be broken. That your goodness in our lives would just shine so brightly that it shuts the arguments down. But I even pray for people that maybe in this room, maybe listening online, who may be listening on YouTube later on, for people to be delivered from the bitterness that they've held with them for so long of the things that have happened. God, I pray your healing in their life. And for a lot of them, they're legitimate things that you could be bitter about. Oh, but God, I pray your healing would come upon them. That they would see themselves how you see them. Victorious, joyful, giving thanks. God, I pray for healing to come over. I pray for healing to come over families in this season. Of families who've been identified, their identity has come from the strife and the fighting the infighting that has gone on for years, that it's almost become that identity for that family, that when they get together, it's just arguments, fighting, bitterness, resentment. I pray that your healing would come over those families in Jesus' name, that generational curses would be broken in Jesus' name. That the spirit of thankfulness would reign in homes all over this valley and wherever people may be. That as Christians, we are not going to let the lies of the enemy hold us down, but like Hannah, we are going to swallow up the lies in praise. Let's do that today. I want the worship team to come up here. I want us to close in an anthem that we sang earlier. And I could just see Hannah singing this song. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great you are, and how small the stuff that's happened to me is. How great you are. Man, if you can, would you stand and would you just proclaim this song this morning? And let's end it this way. Let's start up Thanksgiving week singing this song. Can we do that? Then sings my soul. Man, let's proclaim that anthem today.
Oh, Man,
let's be thankful in this season. Amen?
Amen.
Man, let's let our lives speak the thankfulness that we have in God. Amen? Hey, have a great week. Travel safe today. Have a great Thanksgiving, whether it's here, wherever. Enjoy that turkey, smoked, fried, burnt, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, amen.